drop goal!
It's over! They've done it! Evans has done it!
Welcome back to another episode of Two Woods, Four Quarters, a Harlequins podcast. This is going to be a belter. My name's Michael, and as always, I'm sat with my cousin Will. Happy Sunday, mate. What a weekend, and God almighty, have we got some stuff to look forward to. How are you feeling?
What a line to introduce the podcast. This is going to be a belter. You promise a lot, don't you?
No,
you
man.
Better deliver now.
I'm promising
a lot. Deliver now.
I feel like we're in a rhythm now as well. We had a bit of a break. We're a couple of episodes back into our rhythm now. This is going to be a goodie.
Yeah, I'll echo that. Feeling good about this one. Lots of good news. Not much bad news. Don't think there's any bad news in this week's episode.
No.
All good news, exciting rumours, good results, and very, very exciting away days.
And for those of you that aren't sat in Will's bedroom, he's got the tank top on. Summer's here, baby.
It's here.
Summer's here. Get those guns out.
Just practicing for 28 degrees in Bordeaux.
Yes, come on.
Go to the gym after this. Bit of arms.
got six days to get in shape. Let's kick off with some rumours. We've been sort of plugging the rumour mill the last few weeks. And this one seems to have gathered some pace. It sounds like Danny Kerr is going to sign a one-year extension with the club. Well, at least a one-year extension. Who knows? Could be two, could be three. The show goes on. Might not be three. There was a little clip of Hugo Monya talking to Danny on the pitch before the Glasgow game, and they were waxing lyrical about Marcus, and Hugo just sort of posited the question to Danny about his contract, and he said something along the lines of, "I'm pretty sure I'll be sticking around." And we've seen some stuff, I think it was in the Mail Online reporting, that the fact that Danny's going to sign the new deal, which is brilliant. I mean, not much more needs to be said about the great man, the greatest Harlequin of all time, but go on, do him justice very, very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, his re-signing is as good as any new signing that we're going to get. And we said last week on the episode, we need some good news, don't we? It feels like we've got that this week, not just with the result we had, our first ever knockout win in European rugby, but also the news of Danny Kerr all but re-signing as of right now, which is very, very good news. Brilliant for our club. He is the man. He's Mr. Harlequins, the talisman. And I imagine it'll be a one-year deal, but I really hope this isn't something we've just made up and it's just become a bit of a joke. But I really do hope, and you're laughing because you know what I'm going to say, that the South Stand is renamed the Danny Kerr South Stand whilst he is still playing. It's going to happen at some point, but wouldn't it be lovely if he could finish his career at Quinns playing in front of his own stand, whether that is next season or if we get another plus one added on, don't mind. But he's not getting worse. He's just getting better, if anything, with age, like a fine wine, manages the game brilliantly. His box kicking is the best in the league.
And
he's still got a bit of sharpness about him, hasn't he? He started darting around the fringes a little bit more again in recent weeks, which I thought was an area of his game that he'd maybe moved away from, but I'm pleased with that. And the quick taps are back. We saw it last week against Bath that set up one of the tries. He looks as good as ever.
It's giving, to me, Jimmy Anderson vibes.
It is.
It really is. It was the James
Anderson. He'll love that as well.
I know. It was the James Anderson end at Old Trafford. I think it was a couple of years ago now when I think I can't remember which test match it was against. I don't think it was the Australia series.
It
might have been the New Zealand or even the India series before that. I'll have to, someone will fact check me on that. But yeah, Jimmy bowling in a test match from the James Anderson end. And that was a bit of a weird thing because he switched ends halfway through because the wind was changing. He wanted to try and get the ball reversing back into the right-hander, but too much cricket chat. But yeah, it does give Jimmy Anderson vibes. And look, one more year of Danny in front of the Danny Kerr South Stand would be just remarkable, wouldn't it? It'd be so much fun to watch. And imagine early on in the season, darts, through the fringes, bit of sniping, dots down under the sticks and gives it the point to the crowd. A raucous South Stand, the Danny Kerr South Stand. It'd be pretty amazing. So fingers crossed that happens.
I think he's 38 recently, which means at the end of his next year, he'll be 39, which is quite remarkable in rugby, isn't it?
That's mental.
But he looks as good as ever, physique-wise as well, fitness-wise.
Always looked good though, hasn't he?
Yeah, but at 38 years old, still being a professional athlete at the top of his game.
And the lid's clinging on as well.
Oh, I don't know about that.
with a little bit of a deep reforestation, not so sure front about to back. That. But no, great news, and hopefully we get that sort of in concrete black and white in the next, well, in the near future. But we've got more stuff to talk about. On Friday night, we were very, very lucky to be invited into the Harlequins Foundation box to watch the Glasgow game. They got in touch with us during the week and said, look, the box is free. Do you and Will want to get a few mates together and go and have a night in there, which is amazing. So we weren't in the Danny Care South stand for a change. We were in the DHL stand, but
which
it was
quite
great
nice,
fun.
Actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, nice to just experience a little bit of different atmosphere, a bit of different sort of angle.
It was a different atmosphere as well. And I think the atmosphere in general for the game was, I say it every week now, I don't think fans get tired of listening to it though. The atmosphere gets better and better and better. And Friday night was one of the best I've heard ever at the Stoop. And that's partially down to the away support from the Glasgow fans, who I thought were excellent and really good fun. But being sat in the DHL stand as opposed to the Danny Care South stand, you just get a completely different vibe and atmosphere. You kind of get drowned out in the South stand because of the metal floors and the stamping away and being quite separated from the North stand. You're not quite sure how much noise you're projecting. But being sat on the side of the pitch, it felt like you got more of a 360 atmosphere, didn't it? And I'm sure it's like that every match day, but just to experience that on a European night, Friday night, under the lights, in our first ever knockout win, was one of the best atmospheres I've been a part of. So very, very cool to be sat there and very, very grateful to the Harlequins Foundation who gave us that opportunity.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And we were very lucky to be hosted by Andy Carpenter, who's the head of the foundation. And we sort of sat with Andy for the pre-game and the duration of the game and just talked about the impact that the Harlequins Foundation are doing within the community. And he's just given us some stuff to talk about. They actually put this out on their website, obviously, on the foundation. They've got an impact report, which, you know, we would recommend you go and read, because there's some pretty amazing stuff. And there's a handbook on the table that I had to read through before the game. And for those that don't know, which I'm sure many of our listeners do, but for those that don't, the Harlequins Foundation is the charitable arm of the club. They try and deliver a range of different programs and communities and, you know, provide essential skills for people that need to develop success in their own lives. Their little call to arms, which I'm just reading at the bottom here, is the Harlequins Foundation aims to tackle inequality, poor health, and the challenges facing the most vulnerable in society. And there's two or three things just on the strategy here that I'm also reading. I was talking to Andy about this, and he was talking about the three main boroughs that sort of circulate the Stoop. So you've got Richmond, Kingston and Hounslow, but they're trying to outgrow that into other London boroughs of Wandsworth, Merton and Croydon, trying to reach 25,000 young people and deliver greater value in communities. I think there's something like £12 million of revenue.
But think about that number just for a minute as well. 25,000 young people just in the immediate area that are going to be supported by the Harlequins Foundation. That is massive.
And there was a stat that he sent me, which was the report demonstrates that it's the social return on investment. So basically what that means is if you donate £1 to the Harlequins Foundation, it creates £4.70 of social value for whatever program it is that the money goes into, which is pretty amazing. And there are some great ways just to get involved, either just by being aware of what they do. Obviously, donating would be amazing. We bought some raffle tickets on Friday night. I think £5 each. No winners for us, but the money goes to the foundation, which is brilliant. And obviously, there's loads of stuff on the website. If you go on quins.co.uk/the Harlequins Foundation, everything that you need is there. And obviously, on the socials, they are at Harlequins Foundation on Facebook and Instagram, as well as email thefoundation@quins.co.uk. But yeah, it was cool to talk to Andy. It was cool to actually experience a little bit more of what goes on in the other outreaches of the club. You know, everything that sort of we focus on is what happens on the pitch. So it was really nice to talk to Andy, and we were very, very, very grateful for a night in the box with a bit of a change of scenery. It was really nice.
And just good to support the club doing good things outside of rugby as well. I think I hold my hands up. Didn't know too much about the work of Quins Foundation before, but to know their bold strategy and their ambition to do good in the world, it's so easy to get behind them, whether you want to volunteer for them, whether you want to donate, whether you want to simply just share the work that they're doing within your company, within your social channels, just spread the word and help make change in the world. So amazing work that they're doing. And I'm sure we'll try and get a few of them down to our live podcast episode ahead of Big Summer Kickoff, where you can buy raffle tickets and be part of the 50-50 raffle where you win half the prize and the other half of the prize goes to the foundation. Really cool, simple idea that makes a good amount of money. Speaking of the live
podcast,
we're locked in, aren't we? 27th of April, before Big Summer Kickoff, 12 o'clock until 1 o'clock, we will be live from the Robshaw Bar. The bar will be open.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some free pints.
There's going to be. Well, we're going to figure that out as we get on. But London Pride are going to get behind this event and give us some backings. There's going to be some freebies floating around. There'll be some giveaways, etc., etc. A little bit like we did in Cardiff, but on a bigger scale.
I think the message here is get in early.
The message is get in early. Absolutely, get in
early. Start the day early.
We're not 11:30.
I think it's a good time to be in there ahead of a 12 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah,
soak up the atmosphere. Start chatting away ahead of a huge game. By the way, Saints at home. Big summer kickoff.
Yeah.
Fighting away for top four. They look good again. They had a bit of bananas against Bristol. They then put Sarri to the sword. It's going to be a huge game in that top four contest. And we talk about winning your home games. This is a home game for us. It's one we must win. So it's going to be an electric atmosphere. We're going to have a great podcast. And as always, we're going to try and get a guest on.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is yet. It will largely depend on the match day 23. But if you've got anybody you're desperate to hear from or desperate to be part of the podcast, do suggest some ideas. We can always have that conversation, whether it comes to fruition or not. We don't know. But let's chat it out, because it could be we have a superstar guest and we can come up with some brilliant questions for them and have a really good fun time with them ahead of what is going to be a big summer party.
And it obviously goes without saying that we will be joined by the master of ceremonies, the host of Stoop Live, our very good friend Dave Rogers. So he'll be there with us and steering us in the right direction and making sure we don't say anything too stupid.
We should call it something fun, like the podcast pre-drinks or big the summer, podcast party or something.
Big summer brunch.
Yeah, big summer brunch. Nice. Something like that. Without the food, though.
And we need to be a little bit careful, because obviously we were a little bit... Well, I think you were okay. I got a little bit too well-oiled on the train down to Cardiff, whereas...
You were fine. Don't be silly. Maybe. You were fine.
I better not just slag off Laurie the moment he comes on stage, which I actually didn't do. Those of you that were in the room that listened, I was very polite, but I did make a bit of a joke that... Hit the spot. But it'll be good. 12 o'clock start. It's going to be loads of fun. We'll release more details as we get them. But yeah, absolutely. If we see you, you know, in the Stoop, come and ask us. If we see you in Bordeaux, come and ask us. But we want to get as many in there as we possibly can.
And those of you that weren't in Cardiff, it isn't as simple as just listening to the episode like this. It is a little bit different. We try and make it a little bit more interactive. We had a quiz last time, a good amount of crowd participation. A really small, intimate experience in Cardiff and Tiny Rebel, a bar crammed full of about 120 Quins fans. We're upscaling this time. We've got the Robshaw Bar. We're in our home. We can get more of you in. We'll make it a full Quinsy experience that is immersive and something you can be a part of as well. So you'll get our usual ramblings. You'll get a fun interview, and there'll also be plenty of crowd participation.
Big time. Anyhow, rugby.
Rugby. God, rugby was good, wasn't it?
Friday night, European game. How did you start your day? Because it's a bit different Friday night. Obviously, I was still off school, so I was sort of sat around in the middle of the afternoon, twitching my thumbs, waiting for the county championship to start down at Sussex, but it rained all afternoon, so was sort of left without anything to do, without anything to watch. And then eventually it got to about 4:45, 5 o'clock, and I managed to get out of the house, get down the patch and meet you for a beer. But how did you start? You were on the train surrounded by Glaswegians, weren't you?
Well, I was at work, like everybody else does on a Friday.
Bad luck.
Yeah, well, I mean, I tend to finish at 6 o'clock, but I managed to do everything I needed to do well ahead of six, so I was able to jump on a 5:30 train and get in for just after six, which was great. But yeah, interestingly, I thought Friday nights would be... Well, Friday nights are great, but they're not the easiest one to get to. You are rushing around a little bit and you do get distracted because you've got to focus on your work till the end of the day, and then all of a sudden figure out your transport links and jumping on trains, and you've got loads of commuters trying to get home and loads of fans trying to get to a game. I think in theory, the Friday night game is brilliant outside of London. If you're a London club, it's a little bit trickier, but it was still a sellout in the end, as it always is at the Stoop, particularly under Friday night lights. And I jumped on the train full of Glaswegians. Yeah, they showed up in their numbers, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. There were some pretty impressive Glaswegian support in the ground on Friday night, wasn't there?
Yeah. Pockets everywhere, every single stand, all brought their flags as well. I think that's one area we've mentioned before would be great if there was more flags at the Stoop, because the quieter fans or the younger fans that can't make the noise that the players can hear on the field can certainly see the colours in the stands. So that was very evident with the Glasgow fans who were singing and waving their flags. What was it? We are warriors.
We are warriors, yeah.
Really like that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's something we'll adopt.
It's a bit football, but that's okay. I feel like being a Scottish side, they're allowed that kind of football chant.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of football, it's the Old Firm derby today, so Glasgow's going to be a pretty raucous place to be, but we digress. Bit of selection. Baxter started and retained his position ahead of Joe Marler. Will Collier did come back into the side. Ernie Herbst got the start amid some controversy of his yellow card last week, which we won't dwell on too much. And then everything else sort of remained the same in the backs. Kerr, Smith, Andre Bid, Merle Greenliner. Cam Anderson and Max Green got the nod on the bench. Will Trenholm retained his spot after an impressive outing against Bath. Yeah, Tommy Lauder back in the side. What were your overall thoughts on selection?
Good side. We've got that ability to rotate a few players and it's still very strong.
6-2 split as well.
Yeah, well, when you look at the personnel we've got, I think, and actually seeing a clip from Chasing the Sun 2 this past week of Razzy Erasmus, don't know if you've seen it, but
bits and bobs.
If you've got a 23-man squad and 15 of your best players are forwards, then pick them and find a way to get them on the field.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating, but it's not that that's the case with us. It's that we're running out of backs. They're all getting injured. So 6-2 was interesting. And then when we rocked up and saw the size of the Glasgow pack, some massive human beings.
Big boys.
Perhaps it made a lot more sense when that became more visible. But our squad, yeah, strong. I always said that if not both of them, at least one of Marler or Collier should start just for that experience card. I feel like Baxter, in the form he's in, is probably the man at the moment. And I think Joe Marler even admits that on Twitter with some of his replies recently. He's got a lot of faith in Finn. And I quite like the role that Joe's got in the side where he comes on for 20 minutes and just absolutely murders people in the contact. Yeah. Very similar to what he was doing for England. So I was quite cool with that change. I wonder if it will change again for Bordeaux away. Who knows?
We'll have to wait and see, won't we? The
pack looked good. I liked how Ernie started. It was a little bit of a wild card, I thought. I wasn't expecting it and I wouldn't have called it. And even now, I'm not sure I'd have done it, but I thought he was excellent. Played one of his better games.
I think it's just the physical presence that he brings, isn't it?
It might be once we saw the Glasgow pack warming up, we thought, actually, Ernie's quite a good pick now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just a bit of muscle, a bit of know-how.
I suppose the big in for Glasgow as well was Sione Tuipulotu, who we thought was still injured from the Six Nations. So he did make his return at 12, which set up a pretty mouth-watering encounter against Andre Esterhazen.
That's what Europe's about, isn't it?
I know, exactly.
That clash was wicked.
Internationals all over the field for Glasgow, and the back row looked like their real strength, Fagus and Darge and Dempsey. I was really impressed with George Horn, the nine. We'll talk about, obviously, the game a little bit. And two Kyles on the wing, Rowan Steyn, which you don't often see.
Both good players as well. I was amazed that Webb was able to fit Darge, Dempsey and Fagus all in his back pocket
that
entire game.
Crazy.
Unbelievable shift from him. He was my man of the match, actually. He was unbelievable all day.
Deep pockets, Will Evans.
Deep pocket. If he keeps playing the way he is, he will have deep pockets. he looks bigger as well. Stocky. Good muscle. Good shape to him now, Will Evans. Like, fitness-wise, he's always been fit. But physicality-wise, I think the condition that he's in at the moment is as good as I've ever seen him for a back rower.
What about the game, then? They started fast last year, didn't they?
They did. I don't know if it was a nervous start from us or a bit of both. Probably a bit of both. And they had a point to prove. Good away support, start the game well. It's probably what we'll need next week in Bordeaux, isn't it? Fans making lots of noise from the start and then a good quick try just to get our tails up. I think that's probably how you would approach an away game, and they executed it perfectly.
Yeah, it was. It felt like a bit of an intimidating start because you just think, oh God, you know, especially for us, obviously, we hear a lot about the players talking about wanting to start fast and things like that. And to see Glasgow really come out the blocks and get that first try was a little bit of a warning shot. And it was obviously a bit of a pick and drive move. There was two or three phases and you just think, okay, well, you know, they're starting to work their way into the game a little bit quicker than we'd like. But then after
very, very organised as well. They looked organised in their structure, the way they were set up, the way they put the ball through the hands. They were just very composed. And played with a real confidence. And I think that was the most threatening thing for me. They chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. And eventually crossed the whitewash. I don't think that's anything negative for our defence. I think that was just good attacking patience and discipline. The way that they were set up, that was concerning me. The fact that they could just go through those phases and be patient and then get over the line.
But then we had 10 minutes of sustained pressure. And the try does eventually come. It's a lovely little kick in behind from Marcus Smith, bounces perfectly into the breadbasket of Andre Esterhazen.
Which we've seen before, by the way, for the winning try against Exeter.
Obviously, a little bit different in the in the swimming pool that Andre found himself on that occasion. But it was a lovely little kick. I mean, it's just classic Marcus, isn't it? And obviously, we're going to talk about more of him in a minute. But it's just set up, and you know, I think there's an advantage as well being played, and he just puts it on a sixpence. And
I think we had an advantage for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, it felt like it, didn't it?
Which is what built up to Tuipulotu's yellow card, wasn't it? There was that many infringements in that 22 area that ultimately cost him his 80-minute performance and made him sit in the bin for 10.
Well, this is what was interesting, though, isn't it? Because we were talking about it while we were sat there. We had all that you know, sustained spell of pressure, and of course it's the most cliche thing to say, but you've got to make use of that, and you've got to take points from it. The try then does come, and Tuipulotu's card. And I haven't watched this back in any real detail because they've not got like an extended highlights package on it just yet. It didn't like a really, really like professional foul, I suppose, as a way of putting it.
He was just offside, wasn't he?
But it was like the accumulation.
His offside did kill an overlap.
Yeah, but I think it was just the accumulation of, you know, four, five, six penalties before that preceded that yellow card. And then we get the scrum bang in front of the posts, and it was right in line with where we were sat, sort of on that 22 in the DHL stand. And you think, well, they had three defenders on the near side, two on the far side. Marcus is lining up sort of just behind the scrum with Tyrone Green behind him. The ball actually ended up coming left, and it's just, you know, trying.
It was quite predictable, wasn't it? I think is the important detail here is, yes, we were going left, but the Glasgow defence read that before the ball had even come out the back of the scrum, because our boys had started moving that way, and then it took half a second too long to come out the back of the scrum. So they had the numbers there, which meant that whatever move they had set up, they were no longer able to execute. So Marcus just does what Marcus does, throws a big left foot step, throws another big left foot step, leaves them all.
Almost spills it as well.
Almost spills it, recounts it, and just dives over and gives us the classic Marcus Smith passion celebration, which gets me going every single time. But I think that's why you pay in the big bucks, right? Yeah. That's why you can score from anything. And at that point, you've got Marcus Smith and Andre Esterhazen on the score sheet again for another week. Those two at the moment just can't be stopped.
It reminded me of two tries of Marcus, sort of first phase where he's just going to go, lads, don't worry, I'll do it myself.
Is one of them London Irish?
London Irish away the year we won it. And then this year against Racing in the Champions Cup, where he sort of throws that big step and goes through a gap and, yeah, takes two or three with him and dots it down, and as you say, the big sort of massive fist pump. And at that point, we've got, what, 4 or 5 minutes left until half-time? Still a man in the bin, and we're sort of going, have we got sort of time? Have we got the momentum on our side here to go and get another one? And we absolutely do. It's brilliantly worked.
Well, I think whilst they're down to 14, Tuipulotu as well, of all people, man in the backs, but not just any man, a man of his skills and imposing physicality, we had to capitalise on it, didn't we? Yeah. The ref was poor all game, and actually we got a little bit and they got a little bit. But the fact that it was Tuipulotu that got binned helped us a lot. Yeah. Because in theory, a lot of the infringements were from the driving maul. When we were camped down in the 22, sort of between the 10th minute and the 25th minute, and we were just hammering away, driving maul off, driving maul, lots of infringements. In theory, it should have been one of their pack that got that yellow. So for it to then accumulate and be their 12 that gets the yellow just opened up a lot of space for our backs. And that makes all the difference.
Do you know what I love about this try? And I'm watching it now. I feel like I'm doing a lot of comparisons here with previous tries that Quins have scored, which I think is a good thing because it means that we're sort of recreating things that we've done brilliantly in the past. The ball comes left. Do you remember Dom Brandt's try in the final where Marcus just throws that little inside ball to a massive gap?
Yeah, yeah.
Marcus has got so much space to throw that little inside ball to Dom Brandt. He's looping around on his inside shoulder. I mean, look, if he gives that ball to Dom Brandt, he's absolutely tearing over. The bit I love about it, though, even more, is Tyrone Green is just on his left shoulder, and it just makes that edge defender from Glasgow bite to try and reach Tyrone before he can sort of free his hands and go left again. But Marcus sort of draws both defenders in, and then just ships it to Caden Murley, who strolls in untouched. And there's a bit of a coming together between Caden and the Glasgow player, and then you just see Marcus in the background of the highlights sort of jump past him, massive fist bump in the air, giving it absolute beans, which is just hilarious.
Yeah, I think he tried to leave one on Caden a bit. I know Caden gave him a little pat on the shoulder as well after that try. So, yeah.
But 21-7 half time, you'd have snapped your hand off of that at the start.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, that's a half time scoreline, isn't it? In a European knockout game, 14 point lead, you're feeling very good at that point. Unless you're a Quins fan and you've experienced Bath the week before, then you know anything's possible. And believe it or not, first 20 minutes of the second half or so, it does unfold that way, doesn't it? Glasgow really turn it on.
Yeah, the first try is a bit disappointing because, again, it's sort of similar to their first try. It's just sort of phases and, you know, goes, you know, it's through the hands of the big boys. But then the second try sort of spills out the back.
I think that is a bit of Glasgow, though, right? They've got that weight in the pack. A lot of their pack play for Scotland.
It looks like we've
second in the URC, only behind Leinster, only lost three times in the league this season. They're a very, very good team. And for them to come out and make a statement like that,
it almost looks like a blemish
against us. I think it's just them being quite good.
But it almost looks like we stuffed that driving more. It looks like we've got it under control, and then the hooker just sort of bursts through the gap and throws himself over. But the second try comes from a bit of sort of broken field play. The ball comes out to the left-hand side, and it's not a great second pass. It sort of hits the deck and sort of goes behind, but it then creates a bit of that sort of unstructured attack that we often are so good at playing off. And it's really nicely finished, actually. The winger Steyn does brilliantly just to throw it back inside. But, yeah, tricky, because then you're looking at it and we're 21 all and the game's suddenly right back in the balance and we've still got 20 minutes to play. And I wasn't quite sure how it was going to go. There was a period of sort of 10 or 15 minutes where the game was so evenly poised. There was a lot of advantage. There was a lot of big collisions. There were some stops in the game, boys getting taped up, boys catching their breath, doing, you know, all the stuff that you have in those really tight affairs. And then we have our moment of just pure joy down in front of the Danny Kerr stand.
Sam Riley again.
Yeah, great in that jackal position,
isn't he?
Yeah, picks loads of them up. And
we need to talk about Sam Riley, actually, in a little bit more detail, I think, and talk about that position in general. The line out wasn't great, and it hasn't been for a long time. And we've talked about it till sort of we can't talk about it anymore, and it is very boring for everybody, and it is very frustrating. I think there's lots of factors involved. Steph's playing at six, not playing in the row. I'm sure that's a factor. You had Ernie in for Launchbury this week. Wack is obviously picked. He's much bigger than Sam Riley. He's good in the scrum and he's good in the loose. And that's probably why he's getting picked at the moment, particularly in these big European clashes against large packs. And you look at Bordeaux coming up, the pack doesn't get any smaller.
No.
But I'd like to see Sam Riley kick on. I think he's ready.
No,
I don't know when, and actually it's probably helpful because it means Jack Walker can get some rest soon. Maybe it isn't Bordeaux. Maybe it's Sale away the week after. We might see Sam Riley start pretty soon, I think.
Well, I'm looking at the stat sheet here, and we usually get these from the European games. It's a shame, actually, we don't get to see them often from the Premiership games. I'm not sure quite how we find them, but line out of success, Glasgow 92%, Quins 72%. Both teams had 100% scrum success on their own feed. We did concede less turnovers than them, and they actually had a much higher penalty count, 15 to 10, but we missed 24 tackles. They only missed 8. They had 24 defenders beaten.
Possession, though, is the big stat. I think they dominated, didn't they?
66% possession for Glasgow.
Two-thirds of the game, they had the ball.
131 carries compared to our 86.
Christ, you look at those stats and you wonder how we managed to pull it off.
I know. But we did.
We did. And we had 4 tries, all of them converted by Marcus Smith, no matter what position it was on the pitch.
Do you know my favourite bit of the game? That last spell of defence. And I thought actually our defence was stood up pretty well all evening. I thought we were very, very good, which was really, really pleasing to see after Sarries and Bath the couple of weeks previous, because, you know, we were questioning defence. We were talking about defence coaches and all that sort of stuff. So to see that bounce back in defence in a tight European game was mega. But my favourite bit of the whole piece was that spell of pressure right at the end of the game. I'm just looking at it now. Glasgow were up to 21 phases when they put that kick in behind to try and just find something. It was tackle after tackle after tackle. They were going backwards. They weren't finding
spaces. That was it for me. Those 21 phases, a good few of them, they were going backwards in the contact. And for at least the last 5 or 6, they were completely and totally lost. Didn't know where to go, which eventually led to that kick where they relinquished possession and the game is ours. I mean, on another day, that ball bounces the other way and they they've pulled off one of the most miraculous wins ever in European rugby history.
And I'd have cried all the way home.
And I would have as well. I'd still be crying now. Right, should we finish up with some three-word reviews?
Yeah, let's do it. In the aftermath of Friday night, we actually tweeted this a little bit late, usually straight after the game, but I got a bit carried away post-game, so it did come out a little bit late.
I quite like how fans just send them in anyway, whether we've tweeted it or not, which is quite sometimes yeah. We are a bit slow to do it.
Go on, you lead us off.
Let's kick off with Harlequins women legend, Rachel Burford, Do Not Blink.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, I had my eyes shut for the last 5 minutes. I'm not sure about blinking, but
yeah. I mean, so many incidents, so many tries. What a game. What a game.
Paul Edwards at Woking Quinn, best atmosphere ever. James Sturdy.
I agree. Up there.
James Sturdy, Stoop was rocking at Bej, loving our defence.
Adrian Brown, love knockout rugby. There is nothing like knockout rugby, is there?
That's class, isn't
it? The atmosphere that comes with it is unrivaled. Quinn of the North, Evans for England. Oof. He will get a go one day, won't he?
He has to.
He's too good. Conor McDonald, who I believe is both a Quinns and a Glasgow fan, said, stressful for Glaswegians. I think it was stressful for everyone, actually.
Tony Edwards watched history made.
Yeah, we did. We really did. Richard Derwent says, noisiest ever Stoop. And George BLFC says, line-out coach needed. And I wonder if a quick fix to that is to seeing what Sam Riley can do.
I wonder whether, Luke Pope at Cranky Double Loon, who sent this in, wasn't obviously keeping up to date with Saturdays and must have sent this in beforehand because he's put bring on Sarries. So hopefully we get them in the playoff finals rather of the Premiership rather than actually see them again in Europe, because obviously we're going to go to Bordeaux instead.
I'd much rather have them at home in a semi-final than at the final at Twickenham.
Ben Way's echoing yours. Riley to start, ?
Oh, really? I haven't seen that one. That's good. I'm glad I'm not alone in that thought. Dan Bob says, well done, Stoop. The last two matches, the atmosphere has been brilliant.
I like this really one has. From at B Woodsy 99, quarters in quarter, brackets final.
Nice. Very nice. That should be the title of the episode. In fact, it will be. Thank you very much for that suggestion. Quarters and quarters is going to be the title of this episode.
Oh, I love it. Well, let's leave it there. Thanks, Ben, for that, because that's given us our episode title.
You know what? Dave Jeffries has said it as well. There's a couple of suggestions for that. So it's a full fan effort this week. Perfect. On podcast titling. Should we preview next week? We're into the quarterfinals of the European Champions Cup, and who'd have thought that a couple of
weeks ago?
Which
we've never been to.
Staring down the barrel of a humiliating defeat against Saracens, and it could well have been them again this week.
Oh, God, that was some real anxiety going into Saturday afternoon when I was sat having a couple of beers with my mates watching the Bordeaux game, thinking, I just don't want to have Saturdays at home. A, I want the away trip, and I just wouldn't have felt as good about
interestingly,
Saracens.
I think the club wanted the away trip as well.
Well, yeah, someone mentioned this.
I think
this.
They know the value of it to the fans, but then also, quite interestingly, I think from the quarterfinals onwards, ticket revenue is split 50-50.
I did hear that. Yeah.
So actually, a home game wouldn't have made much of a difference. We would have just got the sort of merchandise sales from the club shop and then food and beverages.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is a lot, but for the cost of hosting a match day, you'd rather send the boys for an experience in the south of France.
But I did also see that. I did also see that. I think it's. But anyway, we're through, and now we've got a European weekend to look forward to, and we're off, aren't we? We are going. It's going to be our fourth trip together.
We're booked. What are we about? I think we're going for 26 hours only, something like that.
I don't know. There was something that was put out on the website after the game, which someone sent me, that Harlequins will face the winner of Bordeaux v Saracens, which will be held 5:30 Saturday, the 6th of April. So we've gambled, although I did see actually someone tweeted or somebody responded to Laurie Dalrymple's tweet. He always does an amazing sort of post-match tweet when we have these big nights at the Stoop. And someone said, oh, is it definitely confirmed for the Saturday? And he put 99.9%. So I'm going to take that as 100% and that his word is gospel. So we're leaving 6:25 is the flight from Gatwick.
Something like that. 6:30 in the morning Saturday, and then we fly back 7 a.m. the Sunday. So it is barely over 24 hours that we will be there. No accommodation booked. Yeah. We're going to land, touchdown, straight to the pub. We're not even going to bring a bag on the plane. I think I'll just be sat there in my Quinn shirt and a flag.
Yeah.
We need to think about outfits, don't we? We need outfits for travel, outfits for the match day, outfits for the pub, and then potentially for a sleep on the floor at the airport at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. So what on earth can you wear to tick off all of those moments across the day? If anyone's got any ideas, let us know. But I imagine I'll be Quinn shirt.
Well, have you looked at the weather?
Body warmer with lots of pockets to hold passports and whatever, phones, whatever else. And then, I mean, I think it's going to be like 28 degrees in Bordeaux. So are you going shorts? Are you going...
It's going to get up to 24 degrees by about 5 o'clock, according to today's weather forecast. I'll obviously check that as the week goes on. It's still going to be
what the coldest it will be. I'm thinking mainly at sort of 3-4 a.m. when we're still going and trying to get to the airport.
Well, at midnight, it's still going to be 18 degrees, according to the Met Office.
Oh, it's shorts weather, isn't it? It's going to be shorts.
Oh, no.
Not the comfiest, though, when you're lying on the airport floor at 5 a.m. But
no. But it's going to be unbelievable fun. I cannot wait. I'm sure that... We'll all, you know...
It'll be weird boarding without any luggage.
Yeah.
I'll just have the flag.
Yeah. It's like when I occasionally travel up to see my mum in Scotland for a couple of days and you just sort of take a little rucksack, but even then I'm not going to have anything. I've never rocked up to an airport before without having to carry anything with me.
See, other than bring the drum. How did we get the drum last time? Did we fly the drum?
No, we got the Eurostar, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah. And then it got locked in at security at Racing, yeah. So I'm not sure I'm going to bother, but...
Oh,
yeah,
I don't know. If there's one piece of luggage that can come with us and it can be the drum, that'd be fun.
I don't know. Do you know what I also had to check this week? I've only got 6 months left on my passport, but I've got in touch with my internal travel agent, and he says that 3 months validity is okay for France. So I'm hoping that's going to be okay. I'm not going to get turned away at border control or whatever it is, security, blah, blah, blah. But
maybe don't risk the drum if I were you then.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it's going to be great fun. But we are going to be very active on socials this week about where we're going to be meeting. And I'm sure that all the information about pubs and meetup locations are all going to be coming through Quinza.
Well, I imagine that'll be it, right? I think we'll just follow the lead of Quinza, won't we?
Absolutely, yeah. They are the masters, and everything they do on all the European away days that we've been on is just second to none. So we're going
to
keep
nice
up with them.
Not having to go to a hotel and check in as well. As soon as we land, we're straight to the stadium, really. The pub's in the immediate vicinity of it.
It might be quite nice, though, at 2 a.m. when I feel like I need a bit of a sleep, but it's just going to have to be the airport floor, isn't it?
I mean...
Sunday's going to be absolutely horrific as well.
Let's be real, though. If we can go to Bordeaux and turn them over and reach the semi-final, 3 a.m.'s not going to be a problem, is it?
I just don't want to carry back a suitcase of broken dreams. I want it all.
Well, come on then. Let's get into the weeds of that a little bit more. They are a very, very, very good team who put a very good Saracens team to the sword and have done twice this season already. I watched that game and, to be honest, Saracens weren't at their best. I thought they were quite poor, actually. I think they were out-muscled everywhere, which is unlike Saracens. And I think when we really want to be up for it, we don't let anybody out-muscle us. So if we can try and front up in that capacity, and it becomes a game of skill. There's no better player on the pitch than Marcus Smith for a game of skill, especially Tyrone Green outside him as well. So, weirdly, I feel like if there is any team that can go toe-to-toe with Bordeaux, it's a team that can play the same way as them. And with a big man like Andre Esterhazy in the midfield, I feel like that's what Saracens were missing, actually. They didn't really have that punching runner that could cause a bit of trouble and disrupt the back line and create a bit of space. So given what I said earlier about Marcus and Andre just being irresistible at the moment, if they can have another good 80-minute performance next week, anything can happen.
Do you know what I'm looking forward to?
Luke Northmore scoring tries. Got to be back this week. He's got to be back this week.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your 15 then. What do you do here? Because things like this are quite tricky to plan for. You can't really plan ahead for a quarterfinal. I imagine there might be some designated rest weeks. Does that go out the window for a European quarterfinal? I think it has to, doesn't it?
Depends who it is.
Well, that's fair. Depends who it is.
I'm going to go.
Marla back in?
No, I'm going to stay with Finn Baxter.
Are you?
And I'm going to have Marla on the
bench. Up against Tal Mifuna.
I mean, what a What a battle that's going to be for
Monster
Finn.
Of a man. I mean,
Absolutely
Finn Baxter.
huge.
Remember when he broke onto the scene against Racing? It feels like a second coming moment for him now, doesn't it? European quarterfinal against the Tonga captain. If he can fold him up, oh my God, I'm going to get a Finn Baxter t-shirt made.
England's future loose head. Maybe England's current loose head.
Current loose head.
Maybe England's current loose head, yeah. Baxter, Walker, Collier.
Yes.
And then, do you know what? I think this
Collier,
is the
by
week.
The way, up against Jefferson Poirot, who came off injured, I think. Don't know the extent of that injury. Again, another very good prop for them. If he is injured, that bodes well for us. And Collier going up maybe against the second or third string prop for them. If we can get a bit of scrum dominance, that would be very, very helpful.
I'm going to go Steph in the row with Joe Launchbury. I think Ernie and Hammond have done brilliantly. Launchbury actually obviously got a bit of a rest, came off the bench. I think his experience in these big games is going to be crucial. So I think we need our captain, because I think he's going to just try and have a little bit more access into the set piece in the second row, and Launchbury next to him.
Interesting. Can we talk about that for a minute? Because I agree with all of that. But then I also think they're both quite old now. And they've not had injury-free seasons. And I'm not sure that they have the dynamism of a George Hammond or a Dino Lam, who's, of course, injured. I don't know when he's back, but if he was back this week, that would be very nice. I think they're quite samey, Steph and Launch.
But this is where the point of difference comes, I think, because we've been looking the last couple of weeks and seeing Chandler Cunningham South go through the warm-up, I think, this weekend.
Okay,
could be...
I like where this is going. You're allowed to have Launch and Steph if you've got Chandler at six.
Yeah. And
fine.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see. I think.
All right, yeah, you've sold it me. You've sold it me. If it wasn't Chandler, I think I'd go Steph at six again.
You've charmed me. You've got the job.
Yeah.
Wev, obviously.
Yeah. Oh. He was matched for me on Friday night.
Yeah,
Marcus got it, but Wev, just everything he did.
Special.
Turnovers, tackles, but dominant tackles as well. At key moments in time as well. It wasn't like a big shot for nothing. It was like a big shot when it was needed.
Danny got a bit banged up on the weekend, but hopefully he's okay to go again.
Did he
just had that big shot that sort of jolted him, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
And he played 80 minutes, which you don't often see from Danny now.
Did he go 80?
Yeah, he went 80, yeah.
Worries me.
Maybe. But he's the talisman. He's the man for the big occasion, so...
You know. Oh, 100%. I would play him for 80 as well, but it worries me about what that says about the faith we have in our backup scrum halves.
Well, hopefully Will Porter's going to be fit. We've been asking for it for 2 or 3 weeks. Hopefully we see Will Porter back.
What was wrong with him again?
Don't know. I've not really seen, actually. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's been a long time. Was it a training injury, or was it from Leicester? Or was it before that?
Pass. Yeah. Seems like so long ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. If it was that long ago, he must be close.
Andre, and it's time for the return of the podcast honorary member.
Yeah, this is a game made for Luke Northmore, isn't it?
I know.
The space in that 13 channel. Who's he up against? Deportee or something?
It is Deportee, and Luke Northmore's going to deportee him back into the... back into the front row of the Stade Jacques Chaban Delmas.
You know what? This game, if the weather conditions are right, this game screams of a Luke Northmore try.
Absolutely stinks of it. Two or three of them, I reckon.
God, that's a good bat line, isn't it? Marcus Smith, Andre Esterhazy, and Luke Northmore. That midfield.
David Murley.
And the way that Marcus and Andre are scoring, you put Luke Northmore in there, he's definitely going to score. I'm going to stick the house on it.
Caden Murley up against Damian Pueno.
Again, what a battle.
Yeah.
Salivating at that battle. Murley, what have you got? Come on, Cade.
Tyrone Green.
Don't skip on from that.
Well, he's got Caden, back.
If Caden can box up Damian Pueno, Steve Borthwick needs a word with himself, and he should be starting for England against New Zealand in the summer. If he can box up Damian Pueno, who is just a French Johnny May who runs sideways across the pitch... Come on, Cades. Keep him quiet and bag one of your own.
That's jokes. And then Liner Green. I mean, Tyrone Green was brilliant again on Friday. But
yeah. Good battle. I think I'm not actually worried so much. I'm going to eat my words. I can feel it. I'm not worried so much about Pueno. It's more Bierre Bra.
Imagine saying that.
Honestly, Bierre Bra against Saracens was unbelievable. Beat Elliot Daly in a phone box.
Big job for Luigi then on the wing. Luigi Liner, the international. Italy's Luigi Liner.
I tell you what, for all of the doubters of Luis Liner being about his defence, there was a way to silence that. It's away in Bordeaux against Pierre Bierre. Don't you think? Come on, Luigi.
Luigi.
We'll be
Luigi.
Chanting for him as well.
And then look, we'll see what happens on the bench. I'd love to see Oscar Beard back in there as well, just obviously out of the 13 shirt, but in the 23. I'd love to see Will Porter back. Yeah, it'd be a great number
23 for this one.
I'd love to see Will Porter back, and I think Will Trenham again deserves being in the 23. He's been brilliant the last couple of weeks.
Really has been. I hope if we do see Will Trenham, I hope this is his big moment. I hope this is his breakthrough game that throws another spanner in the works of who we play at back row, because we've got an unbelievable stable of back rows at the moment. But the way Trenham's been playing, what a contest this could be for him.
It's going to be class. I can't wait. I've also got to try, and this might be a little bit of a call to arms, I've got to try and find some way to make some quick cash this week, because it wasn't a holiday I was expecting to plan for. So if anyone listening has got some cash in hand jobs they need doing, then drop us an email, drop us a tweet, drop us a DM. I'm off work all week. I'm not at school, and I could do with some beer money. So someone please get in touch if you've got anything you've got for me. But I can't wait. I'm absolutely buzzing. The flights are booked. No need for accommodation. So it's just, let's get out there. Let's have a party.
Yeah, if you can give Mike some work and me some outfit ideas, then we're sorted.
Oh, mate. That's where we'll end it this week, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot wait for Saturday. It's going to be unbelievable. Keep an eye on Quinza. They're going to be putting out all the information during the week about where we're going to be meeting and having a big old party in the south of France. Keep 12 o'clock in your diary for Big Summer Kickoff, the live podcast in the Robshaw Bar pre-game at the Stoop. We've got a big 2 or 3 weeks ahead of us, and it starts this Saturday in Bordeaux. Come on, you Quins.
Why would you support anybody else? Allez, le Quins.
Allez, le Quins. Come on!